Colossians, chapter 4. Y'all got Colossians memorized yet? This will be the last sermon on this text until 2026. We are going to deal with Colossians chapter 4. Verses 2 through 6 this morning. I want to start with a story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice," she would ask him, "against my adversary." And for some time, he refused. But he finally said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her keeping coming to me." And Jesus tells us in that story, he says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and he will see that they get justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and not give up. God wants to hear from us. Amen? And he doesn't want to just hear from us one time. He wants us to be persistent. If it's big in your life, it's big to God, and God wants to hear about it. Be persistent. We struggle with perseverance, with sticking with it in prayer, don't we? We think one time does it, and then we struggle with the problem ourselves. We struggle with the situation, and many times we find ourselves in a state to where we give up because we haven't been persevering in this idea of prayer. We have instant oatmeal. Anybody eat that stuff? Some people drink instant coffee. We even have this thing called instant concrete. Well, that's interesting. But I think what happens so many times, we are in a world of instantaneous things that we think that prayer should be instant, that we should get an answer immediately every single time that we approach God. An ocean liner was sinking that day, and the captain yelled out, he says, "Does anybody here know how to pray?" And there was a preacher on board, and he sticks his hand in the air, he says, "I do." Captain says, "Good, then start praying. The rest of us are going to put on life jackets. We are one life jacket short." Some people approach their relationship with God in the same way. We communicate many times with God on an as-needed basis. We save prayer for a time of absolute chaos in our life to where we can't handle it. We get to a point that we don't have an answer, and so it's an as needed. So that's when we pray, when there's, in our minds, no other option. Sometimes prayer is viewed like an EpiPen. You know what that is? We keep it in our back pockets, and we use it as an injection of help at the point of infection. And so here's the issue. If there's no sign of an infection or there's no sign of an allergic reaction, things are really getting out of hand, then prayer sits idle. And we don't use it. And we wait until somebody close to us has a terrible time and you're like, "Oh, you know what? I could pray for them." Or how many times down the road when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to minister and encourage them and then you get home and you're like, "You know what? I really should have prayed for them right then." Does that ever run through our minds? It's because we have not disciplined ourselves unto this idea of persevering in prayer. Jesus' parable is for the teaching for us to always pray and not give up. Don't give up. Don't lose heart in it. Colossians 3:1. The whole preface of what we're talking about here, maturing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, growing in the knowledge of Him, growing in the idea of living a life filled with grace, that He would change my priorities. He would change what's important in my life. Paul says there, he says, since you have been raised up with Christ, since you have given your life to Him, keep seeking the things above. I love the way the New American Standard puts it. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And folks, I believe that if we constantly are thinking about what Jesus wants us to think about, we're thinking about what's important to Jesus, not even in our own personal lives, but also in the lives of our friends around us, we will find that our prayers become normal. It becomes a normal activity for us to pray because we're thinking about Him as we're living life. We're not thinking about, oh no, another calamity. My schedule's full. Paul says, keep thinking about God. Don't lose heart. We have His example at the very beginning of our text in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We see the constancy here of the remembering of the Christians there at Colossae when he goes to prayer. But verse number 9, look at this. He says, for this reason, since the day that we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Don't stop. This is Paul's example to us, and this is also Jesus' admonition to us. Don't stop praying. And when you hear of good things or you hear of bad things, don't stop praying, because who's in control of it? Us? No, that's the whole point. It's not us who can control people's lives. It's not us who can control the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's His work, right? And we are to join Him in it. Pray, and pray always. From the example of Paul's dependency on God, we can see Paul's heart in connecting people with the power of the Savior. And he wanted these Christians to understand that they were serving not just a person to make them feel better as a Savior to forgive sins, but we were actually serving somebody that has access to all power. Amen? We proclaim Jesus. We admonish and we teach everyone, Paul says, with all wisdom, so that, this is my purpose, so that I can present everyone perfect or complete in Christ. And to this end, I labor, he says. I struggle with all my energy, which so powerfully works in me. What was that energy? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Spirit of God was alive in Paul's life, and he says, that's why I live. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no accident that as we look at Colossians, we see Him returning to this bookend subject of prayer. He began the book with prayer. He's giving us a closing out with prayer. The Lord Jesus was Paul's Savior. The good news was Paul's message. People were the mission of that message. And prayer was his protection and his weapon in this life on mission for Christ. And he wanted the Christians to understand how pivotal prayer was in this life of faith that they were now embarked upon. So we start with our text this morning, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's some key concepts here that he begins to expose for us about this connection that we now have with God. An admonition, if you will, for us to devote yourselves to prayer. He has already laid down through the book of who Jesus was, how it's not just a Savior, but this is actually even the Creator of the universe that we now serve. He has the rights of the Creator. He is all-powerful. He has the plan laid out before us, and we're not just praying to a God, but we are praying to the God, the one who is in control. And He wants the Christians here to connect with that and forget all of the noise of the world that was trying to influence them away from Christ. And He says, devote yourselves unto prayer. Adhere to prayer. Stick to prayer like glue, if you will, so that when prayer would be separated, when you would be separated from your time of prayer with God, that there is pain and you feel a loss. Do you ever feel that in your life when you don't feel like you've connected the way that you need to connect this day? Do you feel it? Do you feel a longing, a hunger, a emptiness? You ever experienced that? That's what this word devote means. That we become so stuck to it that we want it. We give ourselves to a relentless attention unto prayer in our lives. That we're steadfastly attentive unto our relationship with Jesus Christ with constant readiness to pray. Maybe on our own behalf. Maybe it's an intercessory prayer for somebody else. Whatever it is, that we feel comfortable at a moment's notice to go to our Lord in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17 reminds us that we should pray without ceasing. Does this mean that we can't even have a regular conversation, but that we are constantly praying to God and we don't have any communication one to another? No. But it's important for us to understand that as Christians, we are different than the world. We are called unto a divine participation with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit, that they three are alive within us, and we are connected to them as Christians. We work as a priesthood now to connect the world to God. And if it wasn't for the church, the world wouldn't have that connection. We are to work to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Amen? Therefore, we should be people always ready to pray. Be ever attentive to prayer. Be prayerful in our daily living. We find that this idea of devoting yourself to prayer, we find that this was the immediate response of the believers in Acts, the first chapter. After the ascension of our Lord into heaven, as they were wandering and they were waiting there in Jerusalem as the Lord commanded him, He says, I want you to wait until you're endowed with the power from on high. They didn't know what that meant. But they gathered together, and in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, we find that these all with one mind were doing what? They were gathered together doing what? Praying. Was that the only thing they could do? Well, I'll tell you what they could have done. They could have been worrying. They could have been sitting there wringing their hands together saying, oh boy, what do we do now? They could have been anxious. They could have been separating themselves into their own corner, in their own grief. Their Lord was gone. Their friend was gone. Their son was gone because Mary was there. I mean, they all had connections to Jesus. Now He was taken from them. They could have been wrapped up in their own grief. How many times do we do that when something major happens in our life? What do? A lot of us separate into ourselves. And maybe we're in a group. Maybe we still go to church. But how many times do you come to church wrapped up in yourself, in your own grief? You don't want to talk. You don't want to open up. You see the opposite response here. That with their grief, they joined together and let each one share it. But they prayed constantly. They devoted themselves to prayer. In a time of waiting, a time of unsurety, they gave themselves to prayer. What is our response? In Acts chapter 2, following the establishment of the Lord's church, we have a response there in Acts 2 of 3,000 that responded to the first gospel sermon, immersed in the Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life. And verse number 42 tells us that they turned and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship together, to the breaking of bread together, and to what? constantly, continually devoting themselves. Pray without ceasing, the Scripture says. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles define the responsibilities in the church a bit more for us in the introduction of positions of service within the body. You remember the situation there. There was a problem where widows, or the Hellenistic widows, were supposedly being forsaken in the ministry of the distribution of food, and there was a problem there. And so the apostle says, pick you out 7 men to help take care of these physical needs. Men that are capable to oversee this. And while they're overseeing a physical need, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. As leaders of the church, as the apostles that were trying to get their feet under, how do we do church now? Our Savior's gone. How do we take what He's taught us and put it into practice and start building this church that Jesus died to establish? He said, we are going to give ourselves to the ministry of the word. But first, we're going to devote ourselves to prayer. This is in reference to a particular role in the body of Christ, but I believe that it is indicative of the necessary attention to prayer that is needed in positions of leadership within His body. Amen? We need to study, yes. We need to meditate. We need to pray. To lead without prayer is to lead without direction. As an elder, as a minister of His word, even as a deacon, and you're given a responsibility to lead without prayer is to lead without direction. Christ demands that His church move in His direction, and therefore intentional time must be given to prayer to understand that directive. Where does God want us to go with this? Good question. Let's ask Him. Novel idea, right? And so many times we say, where does God want us to go with this? And all we do is engage in conversation. That's good if those engaged in the conversation are people of prayer. Daily given to prayer. As Paul speaks here to a young church, he's speaking to a church that he personally has not met. And he deems it important that they understand the focus unto prayer, to devote themselves to it, to stick to it, to be persistent in it. But don't just do it. Be watchful. I'm not going to talk about the thankful part because we preached on thankfulness, if you remember, the first sermon of this series. However, it's very interesting that this idea of being thankful in your prayers per capita, per use of words, appears more times in Colossians than any other book in the Bible. In Paul's writings, especially. Now, you might find it more times in 1st and 2nd Corinthians because there's more words. But we're talking 4 chapters here. 4 chapters of admonition to a church, and constantly Paul is keeping them mindful to be thankful. To be thankful. Side note, if you become unthankful and you forget that everything that you have, the salvation you hold dear, that only came about because of Jesus Christ. If you forget that and you forget to be thankful, you have begun to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you have this entitlement about you that we see in our world today. Christians, we are not entitled. We're gifted with an opportunity to have a relationship that we don't deserve through the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank God for His love and His plan for us. So keep watchful. Keep alert in prayer. To watch, to be on guard. This bears the inference of a real threat that is out there to our spiritual well-being, all right? We are facing some enemies. We are facing some destructive calamities in this world that can affect us in our Christian walk. We have need of a watchful stance. Guys, we have a need for a watchful stance for ourselves, but we have need of a watchful stance for the church, for each other. We have responsibility to one another to be alert in prayer. My wife works for an outfit called Alert Response. She installs and she services medical alert systems for any who have need in their lives of a watchful eye. The reality of that business is that none of us, on a physical basis, will know. We don't have an idea of when we might need an emergency response in our lives. And when you get to a certain age and things, symptoms are there, you might need one of those buttons. The scary thing is that some individuals have used that within 2 to 3 hours of installation. That's why as soon as you get the work order, get it to them. Because there's a reason that work order's there. Paul says we need to be alert. We need to be alert in our prayers because, you know, that prayer that you're offering right now, you have no understanding of what that Christian that you're praying for on the other side of the world, what they're faced with at that particular moment. It might be that they are on their knees with a gunman with a gun to their head, and you're praying for their deliverance, and you had no idea. Be watchful under prayer. On the night of his betrayal, our Lord went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He told most of his disciples to stay there on the edge of the garden for a while, and he would go further on into the garden and pray. And he took Peter and he took the two sons of Zebedee with him to be closer for companionship. As this was a time that was very heavy in his mind, and as they continued on into the garden, the scripture says that our Lord began to be troubled and began to be sorrowful in his spirit. The weight of your sin and my sin, the enormity of the sacrifice that he was being called on to give as a man. Remember, he's 100% man and 100% Lord, but he's still a man. He learned obedience through the things he suffered, according to Hebrews. As they walked along the path, our Lord began to be very weighted in his spirit, and he turned to the three and he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And so he left Peter there and James and John, and he went on and a little bit further, and Jesus fell on his face to the ground, crying out. He says, "Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." As he's crying there, vehemently crying, according to Scripture, not a quiet prayer, but a complete emptying of his soul before his Almighty God, realizing what he was about to face, he got up from the ground and returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. And then he says in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, the body's weak." I can't help but think that what Peter experienced that night when he received that immediate rebuke there in Matthew 26 couldn't help but resonate through his mind as he thought about the situation that we are facing as Christians. When he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we are to be self-controlled and alert. He says, "Because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he is looking for someone to devour, and you might be it." And Jesus says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation," because he knows the Spirit is willing. Guys, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is in you. That Spirit is willing to keep you strong. That willingness is there to keep you focused upon God. That willingness is there to keep you connected in prayer to the Almighty God. But the body's weak. Body's weak. Too tired to pray. Can't keep my eyes open. I'm too tired to study the Bible. A lot easier to flip on the TV. I'm too tired to have that conversation. My mind is too many places right now. Grief is too strong. Watch and pray, Jesus says, so that you not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body's weak. You see, this warning issued to the three apostles that night resonates with us today, I believe, because we as Christians need to watch and pray. We need to be alert, folks, even in the hour of exhaustion, to remember the dangerous position that we are in, that the enemy is going to try to take advantage of our compromised state when we're tired, when we just don't want it anymore. We want to shut the gate and go home. We want to just say, it's over, it's done. I'm in my safety zone, I'm in my comfort zone. Don't call me. Don't text me, because I'm not looking. Whether we are tired from hard work, whether we're tired because we're lonely, or maybe we're tired because our life, physical life, is filled with pain, I understand. You might be tired and you might be exhausted from a long life. Maybe in your heart that you've encountered enough that you are ready to go home. Can I encourage all of us, in whatever state we're in this morning, to stay alert in prayer? In prayer. Persevere in prayer, even when, or especially when, you're tired. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares. And we have a Lord Jesus and a Holy Spirit who is there to comfort and to lift you up and to give you that extra step that you need for that trial. It's prayer request time in our text. In our text. As we've been talking, the first prayer request that we have in our text, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, watchful, is that prayer, and we've spoken about it. I'm just going to mention it and move on. Prayer for protection for yourself and for all the saints, because we are encountering a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us of the armor of God that we need to put on, right? And in verse number 18 in Ephesians 6, if you're taking notes, it says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Always keep praying for all the saints. Do you remember to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? A lot of times we get caught up in what we're facing personally. But have you ever put yourself to the side, put all your problems to the side, say, you know what, I'm not even going to think about those today, I'm going to think about somebody else. It's a good practice to do, because all of a sudden when you start thinking about other people and praying for other people, those problems sometimes take care of themselves. No, they don't. God takes care of them for you. It's not just the first responders who are in harm's way daily, folks. It's the church. Did you hear me? It's not just the first responders who are in harm's way. They chose it. They took the job. Well, you know what? Us Christians did too. We took the job when we laid down our life at the Lord Jesus' feet and said, you know what, I'm going to take on you. I'm going to take on your nature. We put ourselves in harm's way. But that's the calling of God. And God says, pray for the persecuted church. Pray for those who are enduring for my name's sake. Persevere, yes, but let's persevere in prayer for one another. Because there are those who are daily being faced with the persecution. We are protected in this nation right now. But that protection may go away. Have you prayed that it doesn't? We're in a battle against the forces of wickedness. Pray for protection. Pray also for effective ministry. Notice Paul's focus. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Pray for us too, he says, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, he says. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders as Christians. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation, As you talk to those outside, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul wants us to understand the focus of our prayers. When we're talking about being persevering in prayer and developing in our relationship with God, I want to exhort us and encourage us to make sure that the focus of your personal prayers are spiritual. A spiritual man prays spiritual prayers. Now, I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. I just want you to listen to yourself. I want to listen to myself. As I pray, what do my prayers sound like? Do they sound spiritual or do they sound fleshly? What is my desire for myself? Do I want to grow to be a more spiritual person, or do I want to see more numbers in my bank account? Do I want to see physical things like no pain, like no sickness, like just deliverance from every affliction in this life, or am I looking to become more like Jesus in my heart and in my mind so that I respond and influence others for Him? What is my focus? Paul says, we're going to pray for effective ministry. That's what these prayers need to be. Yes, it's okay to ask for help with our physical things, but be alert and be attentive unto the spiritual needs of the church. We're talking about salvation of souls, right? We're talking about, in this particular text, we're talking about opportunities to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about openness of hearts to the Word of God. Amen? That's what we want to see. We want to pray for protection and effectiveness for the laborers of the gospel. These things need prayer. Paul, I haven't found it. Maybe I missed it. But I haven't found Paul in any of these letters asking that the church pray that he could get out of jail. Have you not noticed that? Look what he says. Would you pray that I can proclaim the mystery of Christ as boldly in the way that I can proclaim it clearly as I should? In another way, he says, pray for opportunities for the gospel of Christ. How can there be opportunities while he's in chains? Well, if you read long enough, you find that the whole Praetorian Guard came to know Jesus because Paul was there. Paul says, you chain me up, but pray that the gospel of God is not chained. So many times we allow our circumstances to hold our witness in. And so when we get chained up, our witness dies. Paul says, my witness ain't dying. I want you to pray that when I get the opportunity to speak, I proclaim it clearly the way that I'm supposed to. I want people to understand why I'm here. I'm here because of Jesus, and this is what Jesus can do for you. Forget the chains. But then later in the book, he says, remember my chains. In light of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, it tells us there to pray for our leaders, doesn't it? He says, pray for our country's leader. You can look it up. I don't have it on the slide, but 1 Timothy 2 through 4, make sure that I'm saying this right. He gives us an exhortation there to pray for our country's leaders, so that Christians will be able to live a peaceful life as conducive for the spread of the gospel. Is that why you pray for your leaders? Yes, they need to have wisdom in making decisions, but have you ever expressed concern that their decisions would be such that the message of Jesus Christ would go forth? Not that it would just be a better decision economically for the nation, or strategically for the nation, but that it's a decision that enables us to continue to live peaceful lives so that we would spread the gospel. Why? Where did I get that? Because in verse number 4 it says that God wants all men to come to repentance and know Him. That's God's ultimate purpose, right? Why did Jesus come to earth to begin with? What did He say? He came to do what? Seek and save that which was lost. Guys, that's the mission of the church. That's your mission as a Christian, is to seek and to save that which is lost. So pray. Pray for ministers. Pray for missionaries. Paul specifically here mentions to pray for the boldness and the clarity in speech that is needed to give forth the message of Jesus Christ. Pray for personal wisdom in our conduct towards unbelievers. He mentions that. Those outside of Jesus, to be cautious that I, as a minister of Jesus Christ, as you, as a minister of Jesus Christ, would not be a hindrance in any way with our words for the gospel to work in people's hearts. Amen? And ultimately, notice what he says there. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, verse 5, but notice that last phrase. Make the most of every opportunity. Seize the day, not for yourself, but seize the day for Jesus Christ. To make the most of every opportunity in the way that you speak. The best way to make sure that you don't speak erroneously or outside the parameters of Jesus Christ is, folks, pray. How many times do you pray in the morning when you first get up, Lord, help me to speak the way that I need to speak so that you are glorified through my speech today? Is that on our minds? Or do we just react to situations? Reaction to situations that face us on a daily basis are the just prime candidates to say something that is not pleasing to God. We need to walk with prayer. Preface your day. Prayer for godly speech. As James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Listen, but don't be so quick to think that you have the wisest comeback. It says slow down a little bit. Listen to the person completely before you respond. And how do we do that? How do we make sure that we don't trip up in this? Pray. Spend time in prayer for effective ministry. Not just for me. Not just for the elders. Yes, please. But not just. Pray for yourself in that. Because we're all ministers of Jesus Christ. We are all to be servants of the Word of God. You know, Ephesians says that my job is to equip the saints for the work of service. So devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and be thankful. Prayer is the link that connects us with the almighty hand of God. It's the bridge that spans every gulf and it bears us over every abyss of danger and need. How significant is this picture in the New Testament? Think with me. Peter's in prison. Herod's grabbed him, locked him up. He just beheaded James, made the Jews happy, so he grabbed Peter. Put him in prison. The Jews were triumphant. Herod was supreme. And the arena of martyrdom was awaiting the dawning of the morning. But Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5 that Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You know, the story starts bad, but it has an awesome sequel. Because we find that in answer to that constant prayer of the church, the prison was opened. The apostle Peter was freed. The Jews were baffled. And the wicked king Herod was divinely smitten by worms. And the word of God started rolling on to greater victory. Why? What did it hinge on? Bad news, good news, it all hinged on the church praying fervently. See, this is not just personal. This is collective. This is when we come together. This church is a praying church, yes. But do we pray continually? Not just on Sunday mornings? Do we walk in prayer? This is a decision we need to make on a personal basis, each one of us, to be ever attentive to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we understand and know the power of the prayer of a righteous man? James says that the prayers of a righteous man does what? It avails much. Elijah prayed and it stopped raining for 3 years. Don't do that. But that's just an example to show that God listens when His people pray. Do we dare to use prayer with the authority of a faith that approaches the throne of grace boldly as well as humbly asking God. God, grant us holy audacity and divine confidence in our lives. God's not wanting great men, folks. But He's looking for men who will dare to prove the greatness of their God. And He's also looking for women to do the same thing. I believe that we can stand and say this today. Lord, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. Amen. In our pursuit of God, it is foolhardy to think that we can accomplish anything in His name separated from His power. We need to be a connected people to God, watchful for each other, and watchful for ourselves. Watch and pray, Jesus said, lest you enter into temptation. Let's stand together and sing this song.
This concludes today's worship service. Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by joining us on Facebook Live. Please message us if you have questions or would like more information. May God bless you and give you His peace.